The COVID-19 pandemic has underscored critical racial disparities in the U.S. healthcare system. It's a gap that doesn't surprise people of color. Many know what it's like to deal with substandard healthcare. Today, a Black couple from Arkansas and a Colorado doctor, they've teamed up to help prevent people with the life-threatening condition cystic fibrosis from being misdiagnosed. Michelle and Terry Wright live in Little Rock. Dr. Jennifer Taylor Kauser is with National Jewish Health in Denver. We spoke earlier this month. Terry, as is often the case, your efforts began with a personal experience. You have cystic fibrosis, or CF. It's a genetic lung disease. You're 59 now, but you weren't diagnosed until you were 54. And it's most often seen in the white population, but it affects people of all races. You suffered from the symptoms for years before you were diagnosed. What were those symptoms?
Throughout all my life, I kind of suffered mainly in my GI system, my pancreas. I was having severe stomach aches. Sort of felt like I was kicked in the stomach all my life, just waking up and traveling through the day, just feeling very bad, nauseous, a lot of vomiting, just stayed sick all the time.
As we said, cystic fibrosis is a genetic condition. Did other people in your family have it?
Of my knowledge, I don't think so, but I've had other people in my family, brothers and sisters, had some severe stomach problems, and nephews, so they never was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, sort of like myself as being a late diagnosed guy, so I really don't know on that question there.
What did doctors first say you had?
They used to tell me I had a lung disease, sinusitis, ulcers, a virus in my stomach. I've heard so many different things other than just coming out saying I possibly have cystic fibrosis. I've just heard so many different things.
Dr. Taylor Kauser, how closely do Terry's symptoms match up with the common signs of cystic fibrosis?
Especially in people who are diagnosed late, it's often because they have mutations that confer some function of their chloride channel. So Terry's presentation is very typical for someone with those sort of symptoms. And one thing that he didn't mention, that he's also infertile. So almost all men with CF are infertile. So really all the signs and symptoms that he had, the sinusitis, the pancreatitis, the recurrent GI symptoms, and the infertility should have really triggered someone to order a sweat test much, much earlier.
And a sweat test is?
So a sweat test measures the function of that chloride channel. So basically, people with CF are not able to reabsorb chloride on the skin. So for example, sometimes when people go and exercise really hard, and I think that's happened to Terry, they have salt crystals left on their skin because the chloride channel is not working. You can't reabsorb the chloride. So the sweat test measures how much chloride is left on your skin after they stimulate the sweat gland, and a high level indicates cystic fibrosis.
So this, brings into question how often providers might miss the signs of CF in people, especially those who are Black. How often do you see that?
I think it occurs very commonly, not just here in the United States, but around the world, because it's been taught as a disease that only occurs in white people. People weren't looking for it in people of color. So for example, in India, over the last 10 to 15 years, they've realized that they have a lot of cystic fibrosis there. And the same thing is occurring in Africa. So they've actually had to develop CF centers from scratch and start to test people, because even though we do newborn screening here in the United States, and we've done it in every state since about 2010, Texas was the last state that started doing newborn screening for cystic fibrosis, it often misses people of color. And then when people of color come in with the symptoms, even when they're classic for cystic fibrosis, doctors think, oh, well, you're not white, so you can't have this disease. So I think it's missed very often. And I've seen a number of people, Black, Hispanic, Indigenous, who have been missed because of their race, basically.
Doctor, how common is cystic fibrosis in people, and specifically in people of color?
So cystic fibrosis is an orphan disease. There are about 30,000 people here in the U.S., And so in people who are white, it occurs at a rate of about 1 in 3,200. In people who are of Hispanic ethnicity, it's about 1 in 9,500, about 1 in 10,000 for people who are indigenous, and a 1 in 15,000 for people who are Black.
So not common, but it can be life-threatening and critical to diagnose early.
It's critical to diagnose early because we know that if you diagnose somebody early and treat them early, their outcomes are better. And even more importantly now, we have therapies that impact the basic defect. And so the sooner you diagnose somebody and figure out what their CFTR mutations are, you can determine whether or not they're eligible for this life-modifying therapy that is available for about 90% of people with CF.
And cystic fibrosis used to be a death sentence. You knew that you weren't going to live very long.
Exactly. When Dorothy Anderson described cystic fibrosis in 1938, most people didn't live long enough to go to kindergarten. But now the median predicted survival for somebody born today with cystic fibrosis is 50 years.
And I do imagine when a disease is linked to certain ethnicities and someone outside that group presents with symptoms, a misdiagnosis might be more likely. I'm thinking of Tay-Sachs disease, which is more common for people of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. Isn't that the case?
It is the case. And of course, sickle cell actually occurs in people who are white as well, but is missed because people are taught race-based medicine. So really the bottom line is that we have to get away from teaching race-based medicine. I mean, race is a social construct. We really need to think about genetic ancestry and not race. And that is going to help us not misdiagnose people when they have something that can occur in somebody of any race, because we've taught this way so long in medical school and nursing school and physician assistant school. We really have to change that narrative.
Michelle, let's bring you in here. You're Terry's wife, and you visited lots of doctors with him over the years. Did you ever witness any overt signs of racism among doctors in terms of the time they were giving you or the thoroughness of their care?
Absolutely. Because of my pharmaceutical background, I knew Terry was exhibiting the signs of pneumonia. So I encouraged him to go to this nearby walk-in clinic. And after they examined him, the doctor at that time, keep in mind, this was 17 years prior to his diagnosis at the age of 54. That doctor at that time said, if you were not Black, I would say you had cystic fibrosis. Well, at that time, that was the first time we heard of cystic fibrosis, and the last time until 17 years later. And throughout this whole process, even him having all types of surgeries and procedures, you still continue to see the unconscious bias.
Who finally diagnosed Terry, and what made the difference?
I tell you, a lot of persistence and not giving up, because what was unique at that time, we were used to Terry constantly going to the emergency room and being hospitalized. But usually when he was hospitalized, it could be for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months. He would show signs of some improvement when they would put him on all types of different treatment regimens. This particular time, he spent all of Christmas 2016 and New Year's of 2017 hospitalized. But this time, he continued to go downhill. He wasn't getting better. He continued to just get worse. And I just knew, I said, if we don't find answers, even though we've been searching for it all these years, he's not going to make it to 2018. And I thought, what have we missed? And I decided at that point to look for an infectious disease doctor, because I felt maybe they could find what everybody else all these years missed. And on a hunch, I contacted the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, because I felt they would have the best chance having an infectious disease doctor on staff. And within 45 minutes of being there, they said, this sounds like classic cystic fibrosis, and let's order the sweat test.
Terry, can you point to medical interventions that you had before you were diagnosed that you didn't need surgeries that you could have avoided?
Yes, definitely. I vaguely remember my gallbladder just being removed at a very young age. And they felt like that would cure the problem of my stomach aches, and it never did really cure the problem at all.
And Michelle, you and Terry have developed this tool along with Dr. Taylor Kauser for people to actually self-screen for cystic fibrosis. Explain how it works.
Yes, we did develop this. It is an opportunity for individuals to potentially self-diagnose and become their own advocate. Because as Dr. Taylor Kauser mentioned, all the classic signs, the salty skin, the coughing and wheezing, the constant pancreatitis, the recurrent lung infections. She mentioned Terry is infertile. So all these different things, even his inability to keep on weight, they were classic signs. I even remember Terry constantly asking these doctors, why do I have all this salt all over my skin? And they just say, you're exercising too hard. So to make sure that patients can self-diagnose the potential symptoms of cystic fibrosis and even help to guide providers in that area. So it's a checklist. And if they have those signs and symptoms, then we are encouraging them, especially if they are not white, not to assume you don't have cystic fibrosis, but we develop it from a patient perspective as well as a provider perspective. And this is our way of taking our journey, our story, and helping to close that gap.
Dr. Taylor Kauser, all of this sounds like a great idea, but it seems like the biggest challenge is getting the word out that the tool exists. How do you do that?
It's a great question. We really are trying to find innovative ways to disseminate the tool, not only among the community, but also among providers. We really need to, when we're doing medical training at whatever level, whether it's nurses or physicians or physician extenders, make sure that we are teaching people the appropriate way to diagnose people from the very start so that we're not going back and trying to fix it on the back end. We did work with the CF Foundation to get their sign off on the tool. They've alerted their team members about it so that they can distribute it in their local communities and make people aware of it. We also, I'm hoping, are going to work with the organizations that see people first. So the American Board of Pediatrics, for example, or the American Board of Internal Medicine to figure out how to get this message out to everybody.
And Dr. Taylor Kauser, besides being a specialist in cystic fibrosis, you head up diversity, equity, and inclusion at National Jewish. I wonder what can be done to prevent misdiagnoses for people of color.
I think that doing bias training is really important because I think you can't avoid your biases if you don't know what they are.
And this is for providers.
Providers, I mean, patients can do it too if they would like to, because I think all of us, I mean, we're inundated with messages from the time we start talking to our friends and seeing what our parents say and watching TV and reading newspapers. And we start to internalize some of that from the very, very beginnings of our understanding of other people, basically. So we would be more understanding of each other if we realized what our biases were and tried not to act on them when we're interacting with people, especially those that we don't know well or that are people that we don't usually interact with. There is something called the Harvard Implicit Association Test. And there's some controversy about how you use it exactly. But if you go to their website, you can actually figure out whether you have bias against people who are overweight or based on race or based on gender or based on sexual orientation. So I think that knowing those biases that you have helps you try to avoid them.
Terry, now that you've been diagnosed, how much easier is it to manage your symptoms?
Now that I've been diagnosed, my quality of life is a little better because they have created enzymes. And now I take enzymes when I eat, which in the past, it was very difficult for me to digest. And I just get very, very sick. And also knowing that my lungs is kind of open up to all types of bacteria infections. So basically, I've been wearing a mask for a while now before COVID got around.
Thanks to all of you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Terry and Michelle Wright live in Little Rock, Arkansas. Dr. Jennifer Taylor Kauser is co-director for the Adult Cystic Fibrosis Program at National Jewish Health. The three have developed a tool to help people self-screen for cystic fibrosis. We'll put a link in the Colorado Matters podcast at cpr.org.